Hello, hello. Welcome to the show. I am so excited to have you here joining us today. I have a fantastic guest. Her name is Kristen Wilkinson, and we're going to be talking about how trust can be getting in the way of growth and change. Now, why are we talking about trust and growth and change today? Because that directly impacts your energy mastery, where you are in burnout, and where are you moving down the scale on that spicy pepper scale. Now, if you're not sure what your spicy pepper is, from a poblano pepper all the way up to that level 5 ghost pepper, go take the quiz on our website. It's below in the show notes. So go find out exactly what your spice is, what your level or degree of heat is, because it directly impacts how you are showing up in trust and growth and change really come into this conversation today. I cannot wait to have this definite, very specific conversation because Kristen Wilkinson is an amazing leadership coach and consultant with over a decade of experience in learning and development leadership. She specializes in empowering high-performing leaders to take intentional action to achieve their goals, build resilience, and experience more joy and fulfillment. We all need those things in their personal and professional lives. Through her work at Airbnb and consulting roles with various companies, Kiki has honed her expertise in trust and safety, scaling programs and teams, leadership development, and fostering engagement and collaboration to drive growth and innovation. I'm telling you, when I say this beautiful human speaks my language, I am not lying. Y'all, welcome to the show today, my guest, Kiki Wilkinson. Thank you so much for being here. Oh man, we are having a powerful conversation today. We are talking about trust. And this one is a big one because they're like, well, what is trust? How do we trust ourselves? How do we trust other people? What's the role of trust? And how does that sort of morph into, some of those protection, bleh, I can't talk today. Protection mechanisms that we have and like growth management, like how do we manage growth, with ourselves, with our teams, within organizations, within our family? I mean, there's so many levels that we can dig in here, and we've got some really cool, juicy stuff. You've got something amazing coming up with your female boss retreat in May. So we're going to talk about that when we're wrapping up here towards the end. But oh my gosh, Kiki, where do we begin when we're even talking about, how can trust be getting in the way of growth and change? Like, what are some of the biggest places that you see trust getting in the way of growth and change?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's such a good question. I like to start out with an understanding of what it actually is. I think we use so many words that are somewhat buzzwords. I think about like the word strategy in corporate world, and it's like, what is strategy actually? And we use these words, but what do they actually mean? So, I actually looked up the Oxford Dictionary of Trust, and I want to share it along with one other definition. So the Oxford Dictionary definition is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, and/or strength of someone or something. And then there's also a wonderful, there's a book called The Thin Little Book of Trust or something like that, The Thin Book of Trust. It's by Feltman. And he defines trust as choosing to risk making something you value vulnerable to another person's actions. So I really think there's this key word in here around vulnerability. And I think when we're talking especially about trust and change is constant. It happens all around us. Oftentimes it's imposed upon us and it's not something that we can fully control. And I think in many ways, trust can degrade during times of change. So, if you're talking about an organizational change, right? Maybe you have changes in leadership or changes in structure, changes in focus areas of your function. The not knowing, the kind of what's next, what's around the corner, that can almost hold like it alerts our protection mechanisms, right? And so we hold our cards close to our chest because we're not sure if we can trust that we can be open and vulnerable during that time of change or that shift because we're still trying to figure out what that means for us, what that change means for us. And trust is also one of those things that, I mean, we've all had those situations where trust has been broken in some way. But we also have those situations where you can think about someone who you really trust? And what does it feel like being around that person? Not having to put a mask on, not having to say all the right things perfectly, but having that sense of understanding that this person sees you and gives you the benefit of the doubt. There's someone named Deborah Roberts, and she's a communications expert. She has a ton of different things in her background, but she talks about turning towards the person that you're talking to. So when we're talking about trusting in someone else, really turning towards them and giving them that benefit of the doubt. And sometimes the best way to trust someone is to just do it. It's giving yourself the intention of like, I'm going to trust this person in the words that are coming out of their mouth until they give me a reason to not trust them. But starting in that place of trust versus starting in a place of, well, you have to show me that I can trust you, which is really hard, especially depending on the experiences we've had in the past and how trust has been broken down in the past.
I love that you started with these two definitions and really kind of digging into vulnerability as one of those elements of trust. You know, because when we're talking about that and we're talking about vulnerability of trust, when we usually turn outward first, right? Like we're looking for how we trust other people. How do I trust you? How do I know you're trustworthy? How do I know I can trust this situation and all of the things, especially when, all your parts on your game board are being moved and they're not necessarily being moved by you.
Yes. Like,
wait a minute. Somebody's throwing in some new rules in the process. Like, oh, we're not playing by that rule anymore. We're going to play by this rule. And you're like, what? So there's this nervous system element that is activated in this. That's a protection type thing. And when we do that, we put the armor on, we shut down, we're going in protective mode. And that actually is preventing that vulnerability. But we have to, I think this was such a beautiful thing as you and I were kind of talking before when we were saying, you know, hey, this is kind of what's happening. We would love to talk about today, but it's like that trust within. What are some of those elements of that trust within, Kiki?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I think, you know, there's a couple of things I think about here. I think in terms of trusting yourself, trusting your decision-making, trusting yourself to follow through with something, it's built the same way that we build trust in relationships or with another person. I think it's really
now, how the hell do we do that? Hang on. Yeah. I want to ask, like, how the hell do we do that? Right.
Yes. Totally.
Like, I'm figuring this out still.
Yes. I think there's so many different elements of trust. And I think Feltman kind of breaks it down into four distinct, I believe he calls them domains, trust domains. So there's care, there's sincerity, there's reliability, and there's competence. And in each of these domains or areas, there's different things that we can do to build trust. So I'll just take one as an example. Sincerity. If you can be emotionally honest with someone, your sincerity flows through that honesty. Being realistic about the capabilities that you have and actually delivering on the promises that you make. This is a huge one. Trust is actually, we didn't talk about this, but trust is actually one of my, at the beginning of every year, I choose an anchor word. And let's be honest, I have ADHD, so I'm not choosing one, I'm choosing two or three. But it's, trust is one of my anchor words for this year. And it goes, it's mostly focused on trusting myself. I built my business, I guess, 3 years ago and kind of made some transitions into coaching. Was not the goal. Coaching was not the goal, but I've fallen into this space and I love it so much. And a lot of what I'm realizing is that I'm getting this great feedback, but oftentimes I have anxiety walking into things because there's a lack of self-trust. It's something new. It's a change. It's a shift. And so building that self-trust for me, it comes in the small moments. We talked about this in terms of coming back from burnout and how it's not these massive changes and shifts, but it's what happens in these small moments that really add up and count. So I'll just give one example is I use time blocking on my calendar. So if there's something that I want to do, it could be personal, it could be working on my business instead of in the business. So more strategic work. It could be community, you know, time with community members. But really adhering to that time, I set the intention of, okay, Friday afternoon from this time to this time, I'm going to take off a little bit early and I'm going to go do a yoga class. or I'm going to sit down and really zoom out and look at my business from a different perspective. It's so easy for me to get to that point in the day where the time block is there. And I just go, you know what, there's things I could be doing. Again, I'm going to relate back to the ADHD, because I think a lot of this comes from the dopamine hit of being productive. And when there's something tangible that you can cross off the list, it's like, oh, I was productive. But when you're doing strategy work, it's like, it's not as tangible. And it doesn't feel as, you don't get the same dopamine hit from crossing this tactical thing off your to-do list. So I avoid it. And for a lot of the time, I was kind of in this place of, I don't have any time to do these things, or I wasn't motivated to do the thing. I was waiting for motivation to come in order to get into it. But it's about doing it anyway. I think part of it is the discipline of doing the thing you say you're going to do. And that means for yourself as well. It's so easy. I'm sitting in an office by myself. I'm my own boss. It's very easy for me to be like, yoga class? Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that today. But the more that I adhere to those things, and I think another piece of this is chunking it down. So not expecting this massive thing of yourself, but instead roll out the yoga mat. That's the goal. It's not to do an hour of yoga. It's to roll out the yoga mat. Once you've rolled it out and in your brain, you're like, oh, I've done the goal. That's where motivation then kicks in. And the more you adhere to what you say you're going to do, what you intend to do, it might even be an intention of how you show up. You know, I know that today is going to be a stressful day, and I really want to set the intention at the beginning of the day that I'm going to be calm. I'm going to find these moments to connect to myself and not get wrapped up in everything and be working at this really high level up here, but really being able to keep myself calm throughout this really busy day. Adhering to that is where we build self-trust. And so giving yourself an intention, giving yourself a small goal, and then adhering to that, actually doing the thing, it takes discipline, but it cultivates self-trust. And then it starts to build to this point where then you're not overthinking things. You're not thinking about all of this. You see something, you can make a decision, you can move forward, you can take action versus overthinking.
Oh my gosh. Yes. That is such a huge one. And you know, the majority of people that I work with that are in chronic burnout and have been for a while, it's one of the components that we identify early on in the foundations is, how do you trust yourself? Do you trust yourself? And to what degree do you trust yourself? And I know for myself, when I started this journey out of burnout 10 years ago, it was, I don't trust myself at all. I don't trust my thoughts. I don't trust my feelings. I don't trust my judgment. I trust nothing about myself, which means it extends to the outside world, and I don't trust anything about anything else. Yes. And I would trust somebody else's decision over my own, which was Absolutely. Really big.
Yeah. Yeah. I resonate with that so much. We've talked about this. I've experienced burnout a couple different times, and there's a quote that I'm totally going to butcher right now, but it's something along the lines of, if you want to, you know, change the world, you have to change yourself first. Or if you want to, you know, make a difference in your external space, you got to look inwards first. And I think it's so true what you said about how, number one, burnout. And I think I had an epiphany as you were talking about this. I keep having epiphanies, you know, hindsight is 2020, about burnout in general and my experience with burnout. But I just had this epiphany as you were talking. So with burnout, all of our perfection mechanisms, that was a Freudian slip. Yes, a little bit of a perfectionist over here.
Hey there, we are taking a quick pause so I can share some life-giving info with you for just a sec. Are you tired of feeling tired? Struggling to keep up with your daily task and noticing a decline in your overall well-being? You're not alone. If you're nodding along to these questions, it might be time to take a closer look at what's really going on. Hi, I'm Carol Jean Whittington, burnout researcher, late identified autistic ADHDer with co-occurring health conditions, and I'm in year 4 of energy mastery without burnout for the first time in 40 years. I'm here to tell you about a quiz that could change the way you approach your energy levels and well-being. Are you experiencing burnout without even realizing it? It happens more often than you think. Picture this. You're waking up after a full night's sleep, but you still feel exhausted. You can't remember the last night you didn't wake up at least twice or spend hours just trying to fall asleep. Tasks that used to be a breeze now seem harder, or you catch yourself avoiding them altogether. And you find yourself withdrawing from the things and people you love. Sound familiar? Take my burnout quiz to uncover the signs and symptoms you might be overlooking. It's the first step to reclaiming your energy and feeling better. Plus, it's completely free and takes just a few minutes to complete. But that's not all. Once you've identified your burnout pepper level, join me for a complimentary training class on March 29th or 30th. It's your choice. In this brief 40-minute session, you'll discover your degree of heat within your spicy pepper level of burnout. Whether you're a poblano level 1 or a ghost pepper level 5, understanding your degree of heat is crucial for mapping out your journey toward burnout restoration. It's about recognizing those internal warning signs and taking proactive steps to regain control of your well-being. So if you're ready to break free from burnout and start living a more energized life, visit my website, Whittington Wellbeing, today to take the quiz and reserve your spot in my upcoming training class. Your future self will thank you for it. Remember, recognizing burnout is the first step to feeling better. Don't wait until it's too late. Take action now and take back control of your life and energy. You're worth it, my friend.
All of our protection mechanisms are on high alert. It's like, there's a bear, there's a bear, there's a bear, there's a bear, right? And we are in fight, flight, freeze, flop. There might be another one now that I don't remember, but we're in that state, right? Our parasympathetic nervous system is on high alert. And I think there's these moments where, for me, I was totally on high alert. I was stressed out. I was anxious, or I was overwhelmed and just wanted to curl into a little ball, but I couldn't figure out the why. And I think this is part of chronic burnout, is that your nervous system is so overjuiced. I don't know how else to put it. That,
oh, that's a good one. Overjuiced.
Overjuiced. It feels that way. It's just, it's so like agitated that it's not always super clear. You know, nowadays I can look at my calendar and I can go, oh, I'm feeling a little anxious today. Why is that? Oh, it's because I'm on my first podcast ever today. And that's a little nerve wracking. And I can easily, true story, easily tie the parasympathetic nervous system alert, that protection mechanism. I can feel it. I know what it's about. And that helps me process it. It helps me overcome it and not shy out of doing the thing that I said I was going to do, which, by the way, doing the thing I said I was going to do builds that self-trust, right? So I think that's part of the lack of trust. Even if you trusted yourself before burnout and then you come out on the other side and you're like, I don't trust anyone, anything, including myself. I think some of it is when you're in chronic burnout, at least for me, it felt like my body was turning against me. It felt like, you know, there's nothing to be anxious about today. And yet I was anxious. I wanted to run away. I wanted to hide. I wanted to flop. And so I, that's a really interesting piece of burnout that I hadn't really thought of before in terms of how it really degrades trust. And it's a change in how you show up, not only internally, but externally as well. I don't know if I answered your question.
Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely. You did. And then some, because my brain is over here like doing all the sparkly things that it does when it's like, oh, the whiz pops, all the whiz bang. They're so great. Because as you were talking about that, it really ties in so much to that set point, right? And it's something in psychology called hedonic adaptation. And, you know, this is my interpretation of it and how I apply it within the burnout world. This isn't necessarily how everybody applies it out in the regular world, but here we go. In my world, this is the analogy that I use because this is such a good one. When you have a brand new car, whether it's brand new or new to you, you get it. No one is eating in it. The kids better not be bringing any snacks and drinks in it. And do not put your dirty money shoes on my floor, right? Like, yes. Get all your stuff and get it out. Do not leave my car a mess, right? However, 6 months later, you got French fries between the seats. You got drinks in the cup holder and everybody's doing their thing, right? We have gone back to the norm, right? So hedonic adaptation says we return to our set point. We return to whatever has shifted or changed, even though it might be the new car thing, it then becomes the norm, right? We're not as alert or aware. And I think that same thing happens when we've been in burnout for a long time and that trust has been slowly eroding. And it's this subconscious slow on-ramp. So it's not like a distinctive shift that we notice. So we get to this place where like, oh, this is just how it is, right? We forget what it felt like to trust ourselves. We forget what it was to go, my gut is telling me, and I can trust that, right? Yes. So I think when we're talking about these protection mechanisms, you know, that is a really big one to growth and change. Where do you think there are some other of those protection mechanisms that we use when it comes to trust or as it relates to growth and change? What do you think are some of the biggest, and when we say protection mechanism, I mean, we're talking about survival protection. We're talking about that is not going to hurt me. Like I'm uncomfortable or that might hurt. What are some of those things that come up?
Oh my gosh. I'm having the sparklies now in my brain. I have so sparkly object syndrome all the way. Two quick things I want to mention. As you were talking, that concept of learning how it feels to trust yourself again. I had an amazing business coach when I first launched my business, because Lord knows I didn't know what I was doing. I had never started a business before. I was like, LLC, S Corp, do I need, you know, what do I do here? I don't know. Do I do my website first? I don't know. She was a huge part of my, I think, burnout recovery. And I don't know that I've ever told her this, so I'll have to send her this link once we're done. But she really helped me learn how to trust myself again and what that felt like. And one of her things that she does with her clients is she has you create a brag book. It could be a physical book. It could be for me, it's a folder on my desktop. And anytime I have one of those moments where I'm like, I said I was going to do the thing and I did the thing, or I was really nervous about this thing and this is the feedback I got. Anything, it can be an email. I take screenshots of stuff. I'll type little notes and screenshot it and put it in that brag book. And I have something every quarter where I go through that brag book. And it's a part of my goal setting, goal review process. But that in and of itself, it's such an easy, small thing that you can start to do. But I think we have this negativity bias in our brains. And so immediately I would have this really great experience and I'd go, oh, well, that was just luck. Obviously it's not going to happen again. I can't fully trust myself. It was just that situation in particular happened to be right. Or I happened to do the thing that I said I was going to do. It just worked out that way. All of our brains have this negativity bias. And so I think being intentional about what does it feel like when I do accomplish something, or when I do say I'm going to do something and I do it, what does that feel like? And kind of going back and going through the motions of what that feels like reminds your body, where do you feel it in your body? Where do you feel like, I think about walking into a room with someone who maybe I really don't trust. Maybe they've broken my trust in the past. I'm a little more rigid. My, you know, things are a little tighter versus when I walk into the room with my best girlfriend, I let it all hang out. I'm just, or anyone that I really trust, right? It's like, you can really let it all hang out. And it's the same thing when you're thinking about trusting yourself. It's noticing that feeling of, oh, I did the thing and I trust myself. How does that feel? And noticing the shift between the two, because then you're noticing it more often. And it's that little like red flag moment of like, oh, I can trust myself. Oh, that's what that feels like. Oh, right. And you're like relearning how to trust yourself again. I had to share that. And I'll go back to what you talked about. I think from protection, from a standpoint of protection mechanisms, especially as it pertains to growth and change, I think in general, when things are changing, we zone in a little bit. And I think there's, for many people, there's a fear of failure. There's a fear, you know, we live in an age with social media where thankfully I feel like it's starting to maybe shift a little bit where people, you know, I've seen these Instagram posts where people are like, this is what my house actually looks like 99% of the time, you know, and it's like everything is in disarray and you're like, oh, thank goodness, it's not just me. But for a long time, I think with social media, we saw perfection, 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 perfection at every turn. And that was showing like the 5% of the truth. It was showing that little surface of like what everything looks like on the surface. And I think for many people, there's this, we almost feel like we have to show up perfectly. Humans are imperfect. That's part of what makes us glorious is that we are imperfect. And I think, you know, we've all heard that our failures teach us way more than our successes. And that growth mindset that you can have when something doesn't go the way that you want it to go. And being able to come back around and learn something from that versus beating yourself up, whether it's that self-critical voice or it's, okay, now I just need to work harder, or I need to work faster, or I need to do more. I think it's a matter of taking a step back and figuring out what are the learning opportunities with this and what can I trust that, you know, something I've been talking about for a little while now is how do I trust that nothing is an accident? How do I trust that, you know, the connections that I make, you and I getting together and somehow randomly you being like, you've never been on a podcast? Let's change that. I think was your exact phrasing. And I was like, okay, like there is a reason you and I got connected. There's a reason why we met. And I think trusting in that path, even when you don't know what the outcome is or maybe what the learning might be, but being open to it, I think that's where trust and growth kind of coincide. And I think oftentimes what gets in the way, if you've had experiences that, hey, in the past, I haven't been able to trust myself. Or in the past, maybe I've gotten on, I mean, I've done a ton of like speaking engagement stuff throughout my career. I can't tell you how many times I have fallen flat on my face. And that negativity bias is like, well, remember that time? Remember that time? Don't let that happen again. Don't let that happen again. And I think that hinders us from that fear holds us back. The fear of failure, the fear of not showing up in the way that we want to show up. Which also brings me to like intention and impact and how we can have the best of intentions, but sometimes the impact isn't always in alignment with that intention. And there's a gap between the two and there's an opportunity there. Like, I think about this with my kids all the time. I'm a mom, I'm imperfect. There are moments when it has been a day and I have asked 10 times, let's come in the bathroom and brush our teeth and get ready for bed. And it's still not happening. And I get frustrated and I either raise my voice or I'm a little bit more curt or short with my kids. And I think for a long time, there was a lot of guilt associated with that. Again, I would just kind of, I didn't trust myself. I was like, oh, you know, maybe I'm a horrible mom. Maybe all these things, right? All these kind of negative self-critical talk. But what I realized is that there's actually such a beautiful part of that. It's showcasing that, yeah, we all lose our patience sometimes. We all approach things in maybe not the best way sometimes. But circling back, that's where the value is. That's where the learning is. That's where the growth is. And so now, instead of going down that spiral of self-guilt or whatever it might be, being able to go, okay, what's my next action? That was not my intention. My intention wasn't to raise my voice or to say, if you don't get in here right now and brush your teeth, there's no book tonight, you know, or some sort of ridiculous consequence that isn't actually what I want, you know, in the evening. And so usually it's this, my time to do that is usually in the evenings, but coming back around and laying down with my kids and saying, I love you so much. I'm so glad that you're a part of this family. It wouldn't be the same without you. And earlier tonight, I kind of yelled a little bit, or I was really short with you both about getting your teeth brushed. I'm sorry. That's not how I want to communicate. And I'm going to try to do better. And I think it's partly kind of, it's owning your part, right? And I think with trust, especially in relationships, especially when they're going, it's growing through some sort of change, whether it's in the workplace or it's in personal life, it's about coming back together, coming back to that intention, because we're going to have the best of intentions. Most of us do. Most people have the best intentions. It just doesn't always play out that way. And so coming back to the intentions, even in the middle of a conversation that gets a little spicy, right? Like, I'm sure we've all had conversations with partners or loved ones where it's gotten a little spicy. And oftentimes you're fighting about something that doesn't, we talked about this, right? Like, you can sometimes fight about things and you're like, are we really having a fight about the bathroom fixtures that we're going to put in our new bathroom? Or is this about something else? And what's the intention of the conversation? And coming back to that, coming back together, turning back towards one another. Yeah, I think there's so much juice here. I feel like we need like a 2-hour special podcast.
We really do. We really do. And I think, you know what? That might be the next thing. We're going to do a follow-up on this one because there is so much juice in this conversation, Kiki, no doubt whatsoever. And I think one of the things that you brought up that is so powerful is just allowing that reflection to go back to the intention. And it's not about the fact that change is uncomfortable, because we can all acknowledge that change is uncomfortable, and we can either exacerbate that discomfort or we can kind of lean into, and it's kind of like when you're doing breath work and you're learning to hold your breath at the top with a full capacity, and you're learning to, your body can trust that you can relax, that you're going to get another breath, because it's like the sun coming up, you know, it's happening. It's going to happen. It's intentional and automatic. And it's through that intention, through that, what is the outcome, right? Is we're navigating and we're managing growth, and that growth management part is knowing we can trust ourselves, building those elements of trust within and then without, and then looking at what that intention is. And I love when we're talking about intention, because you have some beautiful intention coming up with your incredible retreat in May called the Female Boss Retreat. Can you share a little bit about that and how people can get in touch with you, please?
Yes, absolutely. I'm super excited about this retreat. I have to be honest. So I've planned and hosted and ran multiple retreats in corporate. This is the first time I've run a retreat for the public. So it's a new kind of exciting adventure for me. I've partnered with a holistic health coach, and she and I both work with executive female leaders. And we, you know, when we first met, we were like, we're doing something together. We don't know what it is yet, but we're doing something together. So this is like 2 years in the making. And we'll be meeting in Ojai, California, which is really well known for its wellness properties. People go there to heal, to get out of the daily grind. And that's really what this is all about. We started talking about this. She and I did it. We went to Ojai. We got out of the daily grind. We did some strategy work for each of our businesses individually and also for this retreat. And we realized how incredibly helpful it is when you want to make a change, going back to the car example, right? And the intention of like, I'm going to keep this thing spotless. And then 6 months later, you have French fries in between the seats, right? A lot of times it's not that we don't know we need a change. A lot of times we know, but it's how we change and how intentional we can be about that. And it does, it takes the reflection time. It takes the intention setting. But beyond that, I think in many ways, there's a loneliness factor with a lack of trust, whether it's a lack of trust in yourself or it's a lack of trust in others, in burnout, especially like we talked about. And I think this opportunity to come together with like-minded women to really energize our physical bodies, our soul, our minds, learning something new while we're there. We'll be having some workshops. We'll be doing workouts each day. So Arielle, my co-host, she's actually my health coach as well. I ended up hiring her for my own health. And she's completely transformed the way that I think about working out, the way that I think about my physical body. And how I trust myself. It's another one of those examples of when you're doing a really hard workout, your body is under stress. And it's a matter of going, I can get through this. I can get through this moment of stress. I can get stronger. And she really helps she helps guide people through that process because it's uncomfortable. You're outside of your comfort zone when you're growing or when you're under stress. And so I'm just really excited. I couldn't wait. I couldn't be more excited to bring people together and really help change the lives of the women that come. It's a small group. So we're only doing 10 people for this first retreat. We're hoping to make it an annual thing. And folks can either reach out to me directly. It's kiki@thrivemindcollaborative.com. Or if you go to the website, it's thrivemindcollaborative.com/retreat. And it's also
fantastic. You can find it. Yep. And we're going to have those down in the show notes. So you guys can just click on them and go check it out. If you want to grab one of those limited spots for this upcoming retreat, because that is one of the most powerful things we can do for ourselves when we are going through the process of growth and change and we are building and sometimes rebuilding that trust within ourselves, is to have someone to guide us in that process of where am I stretching and where am I like actually pushing myself to break? How am I going to do this in a really loving, compassionate, and curious way? And I love that you guys are doing this. Be careful, guys. Remember, you don't have to isolate, because trust, when you don't have it, can be very isolating. And that can be one of those things that we're not paying attention to. So we just want to bring this up today. There's so many elements of trust. Kiki, would love to have you back so that we can go deeper on this conversation, because as you said, there is so much juice to this, no doubt. Normally, we would love to do like an outtake and be able to have something behind the scenes, but I know that you have to go for your next appointment. Thank you so much for being here. Guys, be sure, if you have not yet identified your spicy pepper, go take the quiz. Start your journey to energy mastery today. Thanks so much for being here, and we'll see you next week.